seated.
Well, as those who were here last week will recall, we looked at just an overview of Peter's life, looked at different episodes in his life and God's work in him. Next week, we're going to begin looking at his first letter that Peter wrote as an apostle for the church for all the ages, but in particular as a pastor to churches in his time. So today, in between these two, we're going to look at his sermons, a couple of his sermons that he preached in Acts. I'm going to read more, and the sermon will not nearly cover all of these, of the passage that I read, but I want to read this, and as I read it, I would ask you to be just asking yourself and asking the text, what immediately came, did the Holy Spirit put into Peter's heart as essentially the core beliefs that he would then spend his life preaching and teaching and living for? So I'm going to read all the passages there that are listed in the order of worship. And like I said, the sermon will be a bit shorter than you might expect from the nature of all that we're going to hear. But I want you to really listen here to God's word. This is God's word. I'm going to begin Acts 2:14. And this is on the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit has come. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. We're not sure of the passage of time, but in a later date, Peter calls out on the name of Jesus to heal, and a lame beggar is healed. And then as the crowd gathers, Peter again preaches. This is chapter 3, verse 12. "And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise for you a prophet from me, a prophet like me, from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you.' And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." And then finally, as Peter was before the council, having been arrested for what he was doing, we have these words. I'm going to read 4, 8 through 12, and 19 through 20. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.' But Peter," and then being told not to preach anymore in this name, "but Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.' The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Our Father in heaven, as I, by the help of your Spirit, seek to just make a few comments and applications from this, your word, these remarkable sermons, Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Just 6 weeks prior to the passage where I began today, the Apostle Peter had denied the Lord three times. even as Jesus predicted. And he had run away weeping. And then, as we are told through the Gospels, that Jesus appeared to them. We're told specifically he appeared to Peter. Now, we're not told of that particular conversation when he first appeared to Peter. Probably because, you know what, that conversation was just between Jesus and Peter and not meant for us. But we were meant to hear his restoration of Peter, which he did in the presence of other disciples when he asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And now some time has passed, perhaps about six weeks, because it's the day of Pentecost. Again, I kind of began in the middle of something. Where I began reading earlier is where at Pentecost, a rushing wind and spirits, tongues as of fire appeared, and apostles began preaching the same message that we just heard from Peter, preaching it. Not in strange and weird tongues, but in languages, in the languages of those who had come to to Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost. They spoke in languages such as that could be understood by chapter 2, verse 9, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, those of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and Libya and Cyrene and Rome. Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. They begin by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in a sense reversing Babel, where all the languages and we were spread across the earth, reversing that, and are now hearing the gospel in their own tongue. And they said, "Well, these guys must be drunk." And Peter says, "No, it's 9 a.m. No one is drunk. This is what God is doing. God is at work here." And so we then have Peter's sermon at Pentecost. And then, of course, I also read his sermon after healing the beggar and then kind of some words that happened later. There may be 7 sermons in all of Peter in Acts, depending on if you consider something a sermon or just a discussion. But these today, you'll see in the order of worship, I've listed some of the convictions that we see in Peter through these sermons of Scripture, of history, of Jesus, of salvation, and of urgency. You'll note throughout all of these sermons that Peter is just quoting the Old Testament and then saying, "This is fulfilled. All the prophets have said," going all the way back to Abraham and to Moses, "all that was said is now, you see it coming to pass." Their sermons based on Scripture, the Scripture that Peter had, which would have been the 39 books of the Old Testament. So, for memory, he is quoting Psalms and prophets and other passages in response to their questions and they're wondering what's going on there at the day of Pentecost. And so, just to think about just briefly these points. He's preaching from Scripture. He's preaching from the Old Testament. He is showing us that that this is, even in the New Covenant, this is our Bible. And it's going to be added to. There's going to be further revelation, the Gospels, the Book of Acts, the letters. And eventually we're going to have what we have now, 66 books written over 1,500 years by 40 or so authors of all different genres. And yet it all holds together with this common theme of a Savior, a promise, a God who took sinful people and who from right when our first parents sinned, he promised a Redeemer. He promised this war between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. He eventually calls Abraham and says, "Through you, the whole earth is going to be blessed." He begins doing so. Abraham has a son, Isaac. Isaac has 2 sons, Jacob and Esau. God chose the younger, Jacob, and through him continues the blessing. Eventually we come to David. God made a covenant with David. "Someone from your own descendants will sit on my throne." God, the Bible is this, even through all the different genres, it is ultimately this story of God redeeming his people. And Peter is simply saying, all this is coming to pass. You know, and so he is committed to Scripture. Peter is committed to Scripture, and we should be too, and we can see the Scripture is being fulfilled. Again, in Acts 2, 16 and following, we have Joel 2, 28 to 32, where we see these things are going to come to pass, and they have come to pass. Some of these different, these things might seem strange to us, but many of these things have come to pass. First of all, God is pouring out His Spirit, and people are preaching through the power of the Spirit in languages that they would have not have previously known. There's a place back in Numbers where it's when Moses, Jethro told him, Moses, you got to get some help to lead all these people. And he chose 70 of elders of God's people, of the tribes that had been taken out of Egypt. And God poured His Spirit upon them so that they could be filled with the Spirit and could lead and could judge the people. And a couple of them, of these elders, were not together with the 70. And yet the Spirit came upon them, and they began prophesying. And some people got kind of upset and said, what are these guys doing, Moses? And Moses said, are you jealous? I wish that all God's people were filled with His Spirit and could prophesy. And now it's coming to pass. God is filling us with His Spirit. As well, we see, for example, verse 20, the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Well, you all remember on the day that Christ died, for 3 hours, there was darkness as Jesus was receiving our judgment for our sins. God has been at work all the way through the entire life of Christ, through His miracles that were manifestations of and proving that Jesus was the Christ. So Scripture is being fulfilled. Scripture is also fulfilled in verses, 25 and following. We have that prophecy where Peter says, look, David prophesied that the Holy One wouldn't see corruption. And Peter says, hey, look, David's tomb is here. This wasn't about him. This was about his seed, about the one that would come after him, about his son, his greater son, Jesus. Jesus was put in the tomb, but the death couldn't hold him. You can't keep a good man down. And he rose. And again, we have Scripture fulfilled in verse 34 and 35, Psalm 110. By the way, that was Psalm 16. Psalm 110, the most quoted psalm in the New Testament, by the way. He says, how could David say this? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, that's because David would actually call one of his own sons, his greater son, down the generations, Jesus, his Lord, Yahweh. Scripture was fulfilled, and that's where what Peter is doing, is preaching Scripture. He's also has a conviction about history. Our faith is based in history. It's based in real people in real time. I've already mentioned some of them. Abraham, the father of our faith. Abraham was 90 years old, and his wife 80, and God said to them, "You're gonna have a baby. Your wife's gonna have a baby." And he looked and he said, "You're gonna have descendants like the stars in the sky." And against all odds, Abraham believed him, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then, at the ripe old age of 99, and Sarah at 89, she did conceive and gave birth to Isaac. These are real people in real time. Jesus came at a real time in history. He was really put in he really died on a cross. He was put in a grave, but the grave couldn't hold him, and he rose again. And all the plans of God, the prophecies such as Isaiah. Isaiah told us about a servant of the Lord who would bear the sins of many, whom would be mistreated. Well, this was Christ, God's servant. This is Peter's sermons show us his conviction about Scripture and about history. And by the way, it's really no cliche. It's a real thing. History is his story. It is. And they're all about Jesus. I mean, You know, it's interesting. You might wonder, why do we say the Apostles' Creed, that those same simple words every week? Well, did you not hear the Apostles' Creed really in these sermons? The gospel is the good news. It's good news that God has done something. He, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sent his Son. He lived. Yes, he was crucified, suffered under Pontius Pilate. I mean, he mentions that. And he even mentions Pilate saw that he was innocent, and yet you called out for his blood. It's all about Jesus, the one whom would come and who did come. So, having heard about Jesus, I'll just pause for a quick moment here. This is how God works. He takes his Spirit, works through his Word, and here's what happens. Acts 2, verse 37. They heard this, they were cut to the heart. The Word, it divided, it hit their hearts, it cut. It hurt, like a surgeon's scalpel, it cut for the purpose of healing. And so they said, what can we do? And so he said, repent. Just like John the Baptist and Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've all, any of you who have trusted Jesus, who are regenerate believers, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And he says the promise is for you and for your children. Even for your children. For all who are near and far, all those whom God will call to himself. So he pleads with them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. I plead with you, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And so there is, again, I've already mentioned really 4 and 5. It's about salvation and about urgency, these sermons. Let's briefly look at the one he preaches after healing the man. There's a man who had been lying there, paralyzed, begging. And he looks up at Peter, hoping he might get some money. Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold, but I tell you, I do have one thing. This is Acts 3, verse 6. I have no silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. Think about that. 6 weeks ago, Peter's denying Christ, and now God puts it on his heart. He's walking, he's going to the temple, he sees this beggar. Can you imagine what Peter was going through his mind at that moment? He suddenly turns and looks and says, I have no money for you, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And he does. God is making sure that everyone knows that all this is real. Jesus is real. He was the Son of God, the Son of Man. He has come. He has risen. And these apostles are ministering in his name. And this is real. And so again, Peter kind of repeats much of that same sermon. He says, look, men of Israel, I didn't do this. But then he just starts making the connections. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He glorified his servant, the suffering servant Jesus. He now connects Jesus back to Abraham. You killed him. I mean, he doesn't mince words. But then he says, look, I know you acted in ignorance. This doesn't mean that they weren't culpable. There are sins. If you look back in the Old Testament, there's signs of ignorance, and then there's high-handed sins. A sin of ignorance means there's an opportunity for forgiveness. Again, so he says to them, here it is again, verse 19, chapter 3, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come. This is about salvation. Jesus came to draw sinners to himself, to take us wherever we are, whatever sins we've committed, whatever our background, whatever bad stuff we've been taught, that wasn't even our own fault. Nevertheless, he's come to say to each of us, here is my servant Jesus. He's come for you and for your salvation. He died and he rose again. And then there's the urgency, but I want to sort of close this really short sermon, but a lot of passage, a lot of scripture for you to take in, where he drills down to the sort of the bottom line. Again, after he appears to the council, Acts 4:10, let it be known to you and all the people that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. He's the one that he's the cornerstone. He was rejected, but he's been made the cornerstone. There's salvation. Here it is, Acts 4:12. And this is it, friends. This is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world. We have a Savior. It's not good advice about how to live. It's about a Savior. And here he is. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And friends, that's good news. Because anyone on this earth, whatever their background, whatever their previous, whatever previous idols they've worshipped, whether Allah or the pantheon of Hindu gods or animals or just angry and said there is no God, if they turn from their sins to Christ and call upon this name, this one name, Jesus, Yahweh is salvation, there is salvation in him. And he's urgent about it. And he pleads with them. And then these, I have to close with it. These Pharisees and Sadducees, they say, okay. They talk amongst themselves. And I want y'all to notice, they don't deny that real stuff's happening here. That something is going on. That a lame man has been healed. They acknowledge a lame man has been healed. And yet they have the gall to, in verse 18, they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter, whom on the cross Jesus became, you know, it says he became sin for us that in him we might become the righteousness of God. On the cross, Jesus became Peter the denier. So that Peter could be made righteous in him. This Peter says, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you can judge that. But here's what we're going to do. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. This book is God's word. It's the witness of what those men of God, carried along by the Holy Spirit, inspired by him, wrote down for us. And in Peter's case, when we have the Gospels and in his letter, he saw it. He was there. And so God, through the Spirit, has given us what Peter saw and heard. Scripture has been fulfilled. History is going to reach its ultimate climax when Jesus returns. The Gospel is about Jesus, that we might be saved, and it's urgent. So brothers and sisters, let us call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved and go back again and again to him for forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Lord, I do pray that you would allow our minds and hearts to take in some of this scripture, these verses that have been read today. Write them upon our hearts. Convict us. Grant us repentance. And conform us more and more, we pray, into the image of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.